Hello and welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Anthony. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. This is the show where we cover gaming industry-related news of the last week. We're talking new and upcoming games, technology innovation, general gaming industry-related news, and sometimes we dive into like esports and personalities. We're talking about Phil Spencer today, so that'll be pretty sweet, pretty good. But without further ado, Kyle, what have you been doing the last week? How have you been? Other than loving the fact that you made a short for TikTok and YouTube that popped off.
That's always good. It's always good, you know.
Yes, sir.
Had that content doing work. Very exciting that week. Content's been great this week. Outside of that, though, been playing some games. Hopped back on Smite for a little bit, got my weekly Smite in. I even played a little bit kind of last night solo, which is very rare for me to play solo Smite.
Okay.
I was just feeling it. I wanted to try some new gods, so just hopped in Arena for a couple matches, like, you know, quick 10-15 minute matches. That was fun. Played with one of my, this past weekend, one of my roommates. We now have every Saturday night, we try to get some sort of gaming time in. Like, we're trying to schedule it and, like, make it a thing. So this week we played Moving Out. And I have a little video for those that don't know. It's a very interesting game.
I don't know.
It's a nice little like co-op game. I think it's up to four players. So if you have like four people, you can all play it. But essentially, the idea is like it's very like cartoony, goofy, like moving out, like helping people move out of houses and stuff. So like you have like a moving truck, and then you have like all these rooms, and then there's highlighted stuff that you can essentially like take, and you have to move it into the truck, and some of it requires two people to lift, and it requires a lot of coordination, but it's just so goofy, and it was a lot of fun.
It looks like a lot of fun.
The bigger houses you get to, the more there is, and where there's like different sections of the game too, where you're like moving out at factories, which is more like streamlined, and so that's like a different kind of style. So there's a decent amount of content. I think we're only like maybe halfway through or something like that. After a few hours, I think it's like 3 or 4 hours of us playing, so have more to go, but it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of different characters you can choose from. Like, I think I was like a gecko or something, and like my roommate was like a toaster or something like that. Just a lot of like goofy little characters, but yeah, this is it's something I want to say I got this game in like a Humble Bundle or something like that, like years ago, and I just never played it. And I didn't realize it was part of like Steam's Remote Play Together feature. So like, if you own the game, you can just essentially invite people to like remote in to the session, and so they can just, you can play like a co-op game without both people having to own it, which is pretty cool. So it was fun to just hop on and I had my roommate role play in, and we just played for a few hours. So a lot of fun stuff. It was something different. I haven't played anything like it, so I highly recommend if anyone has, like, you got a few people and either have it on Steam, or I'm pretty sure it's on console too, but it's a fun little kind of couch co-op style game if you just want to hop on and play something for a few hours. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It looks really goofy, like you're saying. Very fun.
It is. So I played a little bit of this, a little bit of Smite. I'm trying to remember if I played much else. It was last night. I played for about like an hour or so. I played a Jisson. That's how you say it. It's French. It's a game by Don't Nod that came out. I want to say it was like last year, but it's essentially like the rock climbing simulator style game where you're like you're like this. You look a little kid. I'm assuming it's like the story is very interesting. They don't tell you a lot, so you kind of just go in, and it seems like almost a post-apocalyptic kind of world kind of thing. And you're essentially rock climbing to try and uncover the story of the area.
Is it the indie dev that we? I think there was a rock climbing game that we talked about a year ago. Yeah. Did it finally release? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that might have been. It might have been that one. It's there's like rock climbing elements to it. I say that it's majority rock climbing, but like, it's definitely that style. It may have been kind of what we saw, but yeah, it's by Don't Nod, the same people that, you know, did Life is Strange and kind of all that.
Yeah,
I've been exploring with different kind of genres and stuff since, so it's kind of, I think this is their newest entry of, you know, what they're working on. But I think overall it's supposed to be a quick game. I think it's only like a few hours, like 4 or 5 hours, so probably in like another session or two I'll beat it. But it's very interesting. It's like the way it kind of works, is like, especially on PC, like when you're climbing, you kind of use your left and right mouse buttons to like move each arm, So it's like really kind of weird.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It took some getting used to, but I'm used to it at this point, obviously. So yeah, playing. I was kind of playing through that. I'm trying to get enveloped in the story. There's no like, I haven't run into like NPCs or anything. It's kind of all through like notes and like, you know, writings that were left by, you know, past people. That's kind of how you uncover the story. So been a lot of like reading for the most part, but yeah, I think overall the atmosphere is great. I think the art style is awesome. It's very kind of very low down, but well done. And, yeah, looking forward to playing some more. So it's kind of a, yeah, just trying to, you know, this week I was saying, I know I've been saying sometimes on the pod, I want to try and, you know, delve into some indie stuff, try new things. So this is kind of me trying to venture off a little bit more and try to, you know, get some more games in.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for you. It's really good. I'm also pretty jealous. I haven't been able to play any games, dude. It's been terrible. I've been, as you know, through DMs and stuff, I'm just getting absolutely worked at work. Like, it's just taking up the majority of my time. Late nights. I came in on the... Well, I didn't come in on the weekend. I had remote logged in on the weekends. And then when I do have some free time, I'm just like so drained. I'm like, I need to decompress. And my decompressing is just sitting on the couch and staring at the TV.
Veg
and
out.
Just like, yeah, dude. Just like 100% veg out. There's been a couple of times where I'm like, you can actually see it for the people in the video. Oh, my dog. No, he's underneath the bed. But we'll be like just laying together Saturday, just all like chilling on the couch. He's completely sacked, and I'm just like, oh, I just need the rest, dude. I'm just, it is what it is. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. I've made one of the what's it called, deadlines. I'm gonna like work pretty hard, going closing out the remainder of the week and a little bit in the weekend to get ahead back into like normalcy, and then I'm gonna be organizing a lot of things, and then I'll be right back in the gaming sphere, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's go. So excited for you, dude. I want you to get out of these shackles. It seems like you've been unfortunately placed in.
It comes with the territory. It's just the busy season.
Yeah, it's true.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, but hey,
as long as, you know.
yeah, exactly. But not all doom and gloom. There is some upside. So gaming related, the Halo 2 community that I'm a part of, they're trying to host a 20th anniversary Halo 2 tournament in Las Vegas. They're looking, it's not confirmed, but they're looking at the esports arena sponsored by HyperX, the HyperX esports arena in the Luxor. So the Luxor is the pyramid for anybody that doesn't know much about Las Vegas. Most people have seen the Las Vegas skyline. They know there's a pyramid there. Yeah. So that's the Luxor. And so they're trying to put together a tournament. They're looking for sponsors. They're looking for help. And they're talking like 70 plus CRTVs, old school classic, Xbox controllers, Xbox consoles, everything, man. It's looking pretty good. There's also a Greenville, South Carolina LAN tournament next Saturday at 12 that I'm on the fence about going. It's only about like 2 hours from me. It's not really a secret that I live in Charlotte, so just go right down south for me. And I think I might do that. They're doing a Halo 2 tournament there, free-for-all and 2v2s. Two of my friends are going to be going, so I think that might be something to do on a Saturday. So definitely get back into gaming doing that. It'd be nice.
Yeah. That'd probably be a good, nice little, like, you know, you had your grind season, now just kind of take a Saturday, dude, to just do something fun, you know?
Honestly, I think I might do it. Just because I really like Greenville, South Carolina. It's really pretty. It's nice. They got some good food down there. Like, you and I, we went there. We met up with Nick, who's a friend of the pod. Crazy Miller came out and when he was living there. And we had, remember we were up on the rooftop bar or like restaurant?
Yeah.
Have a nice little view.
Yeah, that was
like
awesome, man.
Yeah, the food was really cheap. Like, compared to what Charlotte prices are, like, they were, like, half the price. And I'm like, yeah, this is sick. And like, the weather was great, too.
Dude,
remember that?
Oh, dude, it was so perfect. That was, like, one of the best, like, nights to be on a rooftop bar.
Oh, it so was, dude. And then I think we went to, like, a self-pour, like, brewery kind of thing. That was kind of interesting.
So, yeah.
I don't remember if there was a band or if they were doing something else.
Yeah, there was something there. Yeah, some music.
Yeah, that was a good time. But hey, dude, if you want to go out to Greenville next week, let me know.
Yeah.
You probably go up there, get a bite to eat or something.
Yeah.
Oh, four. Oh, yeah.
It was like 3.5.
And
four,
you have to hit. So. Yeah, you're going to have to hit all those small towns where you're like, oh, let's go 65, 80, and then all of a sudden you get to the small towns, it's like 15.
Yeah, no, and they're like, if you go over, guess what? We need money for the little city we have, so we're going to get you it no matter what you're going.
100%, yeah. Yeah. Have you been through those cities in like the deeper south, like deep Georgia, Atlanta, or Alabama? They do the same thing. It'll be like 70, 65, 55, 40, and then they go all the way to 15 when you go through the single stoplight, and then it cranks back up.
Oh, it's so bad.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Living in the south.
But other than that, man, I've been playing IT, helping out a buddy of mine. His computer's been bricking. And
oh, man.
I mean, yeah, you probably have more experience about IT help.
Yeah. Probably get to do something myself soon. I think one of my hard drives, like, it's definitely starting to get a little bit slow sometimes, especially with Open File Explorer, and it's an old disk drive, so I need to upgrade it at some point. But yeah.
Dude, it's brutal. Yeah, we've been trying to test everything. We thought it was a CPU. He thought it was a CPU to begin with, and I'm like, there's no way your CPU would be, like, kind of busted, right? Because when a CPU is broken, it's like you're not gonna boot up.
Yeah, it's normally one of the last things if it's an issue, you know.
And his computer kept crashing under load, so I was like, I think it might be an electrical issue, because he was complaining about his initial problem was he had the 4090 cards. Remember, we were covering this about a year or two ago. The 4090 cards, the prong that they were using was burning out.
Oh, yeah.
The GPU, and it was causing damages. So his burnt out, he got a brand new one, and then it was still crashing, and he didn't understand why, and he thought it was the CPU, and like he got the most, it's an i9-13900K CPU, and apparently that is the hottest running CPU you can buy, like consumer grade.
I believe it.
For a consumer. Dude, it was peaking at like 85 Celsius. And I looked online, they were just like, this is pretty normal. Actually, it'll get up to 90. I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh, dude, those islands. Dude, yeah.
Yeah, he had
sounds like a lot of wattage. That, like, what kind of power supplies do you have? Is it?
That's what, like, that's my 1,000, 1,000 kilowatt Corsair. And it was like
a
gold
rated. More than that. But,
that's what I thought. But then I went to like the PSU calculator stuff and also looked at PC Part Picker. And it was saying like 900 kilowatts. And I'm like, well, 50 to about 100 watts, you should be okay. It's like at peak demand, but you don't really know.
Yeah, so it's weird. I mean, there's those, you know, you always hear about those like wattage curves. Like it's kind of like middle. You want to stay kind of middle of the curve for the most part. If you go over, it's generally okay. But if you're like 100 watts from the peak of what it can like optimally run, like sure you can go over that. Certainly, it just your mileage varies at a certain point. But yeah, you know, that ideal curve is kind of there. You can obviously go above that and be fine, but
for sure.
It's weird. Power supplies are strange.
it is very bizarre because it's also like kind of a lottery thing in a way. Yeah. It's like, did you get a good one? Did you get a bad one?
And then except with anything like silicon or just in general with PC parts, exactly, I feel it's like, kind of stinks. But
yeah, so most of my time has been working or helping people, not gaming. But
got to start, you know, it's adjusting the priorities, you know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can.
best believe. I told you I was about to go like, what's it called?
Just go like AWOL.
just go completely AWOL. So it's like if I disappear for a week, you know why.
Man.
But hey, how about we get into the news for the week? We kind of ranted. Long intro for us, I think. But yeah.
I'll just say.
What do we got? Hopefully sort of more positive news. Is it?
Look, there's some downers this week, all right? And I'm honestly, Mike, I'll just say before we start, I'm glad we didn't talk about the Canes because I'm upset.
So oh, yeah.
I'm glad we didn't get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it. Man. Honestly, I've been trying my best to forget. Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry, dude. let's forget about it real fast with our first article. This is coming from Insider Gaming. This is Grant Taylor Hill. Reporting that Remedy is canceling Project Kestrel to focus on other games. Remedy Entertainment has just confirmed the cancellation of Project Kestrel, a step taken so that the company could focus on other games in its portfolio. While little information was known about Kestrel, we understand that the game started life as a free-to-play multiplayer game that pivoted to become a premium offering. but it never left the conceptual stages. In November of 2023, Remedy evaluated its position with Kestrel, then known as Vanguard, and made a massive overhaul to the project. Now, in a recent press release, the company has confirmed that the plans have been scrapped entirely. Project Kestrel, which was being co-funded by Tencent, won't see the light of day. With that being said, Remedy confirmed the developers working on the game will be reassigned and that there won't be layoffs, but the overall recruitment needs of the company will be reduced to recognize the change. In a lengthy statement, the CEO of Remedy, Taro Vertala, codenamed Kestrel, showed early promise, but the project was still in its early concept stage. Our other projects have advanced well and are moving in the next stages of development, and increasing focus on them provides us with benefits. We can reallocate talented Kestrel developers to these other game projects, and many of our support functions get additional focus on their operations. This is yet another means to ensure that our game projects continue advancing well. I want to thank our Kestrel development team. Though we decided to discontinue the project for wider Remedy benefits, our team has done good work and provided us with valuable learnings. I also want to thank Tencent for their partnership so far. They've been very professional and supportive. Days ago, Remedy provided an update on several games that are unfolding at the company. There are updates handed down regarding Max Payne remakes, Control 2, and Codename Condor, a mysterious title set in the Control universe, which also slightly incorporates Alan Wake. This is interesting, I think, because it's like a multiplayer kind of shooter game coming from Remedy. It almost seems just like way out of what they normally do. You know, it's like it definitely would have been a complete shift, but like it's something way different than what we would have like originally seen from Remedy. But
I
think for the most part, though, the fact that they're kind of just saying, let's just like, we should probably just back off of this because we don't really know what it is. And at this point, it's like we're trying to pivot on it, but it's just not really getting anywhere. So like focusing on Control 2 and focusing on the Max Payne remakes, which I'm certainly excited for, I think is probably the right play overall. And the fact that nobody's getting laid off, I think is, you know, obviously one of the best parts about
it. For now.
For now. It's a fair point, yeah. Hopefully it stays that way. I think overall this is probably a positive move for Remedy. But I don't know, what do you think, Mike? Would you want to see a multiplayer shooter from Remedy?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that'd be very nice, but I think the problem is there's been so much change in the gaming industry right now with all the developers just in the last, what, six to nine months since like October, I think, of last year. And what's been happening is just they've been laying off more and more people. They're canceling games. They're completely shutting down studios. So I would imagine that Remedy last year was really ramping this stuff up. That's what they were talking about. It was like in November 2023, Remedy evaluated its position like about Kestrel. And then, at that time being Vanguard, as you mentioned. And at that time, they're probably like, okay, we could probably sustain this. We can make it happen so long as we have the funding, so long as we have like the productivity and overall like finances to make it happen, right? But seems that they have to make the pivot. It's only natural that they make the pivot. Maybe this is what more companies are going to start doing instead of laying off for now. Just a little bit of a pivot on projects and going back to the old games.
I mean, we'll get into a little bit later about, you know, pivoting and trying to prioritize, you know, well-known titles, because that's a shift that's, you know, started to happen, and I have a feeling it probably won't stop. But I think in Remedy's case, though, it's definitely a net positive. Just, you know, focus on the other stuff. And
I think it's a net positive too. It's always better to do this than to actually lay somebody off, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. So, yeah, I mean, hey, I'm excited to see kind of the other stuff, the more well-known IP stuff that Remedy can do. I mean, Control was an overall success. I played Control. I liked it. I'm very much excited to see what a Control 2 looks like. And, you know, kind of expanding that universe. Certainly excited for that. I mean, Alan Wake 2, I mean, come on.
I know how you feel about that.
Still got to play it, huh? But we don't talk about it. But I'm excited for Remedy. I think hopefully it stays this way. No layoffs, Mike. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's very optimistic, I feel like, in today's climate of a day.
very true. I mean, it's been going up and down, I think, with just studios. It's like, oh, they're laid off a whole bunch of people about 4 months ago. And then we're like, okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Things are looking good. And then all of a sudden, not so much. Yeah. So it's just been up and down, roller coaster ride. Things are very turbulent, I think, is what the industry would like to call it.
Yeah, for sure. But speaking of a little bit of turbulence, talk about Helldivers 2. Not like crazy things going on, but a significant person is no more at Helldivers developer.
Yeah, it has been quite dramatic, I think. Would you say so? The Twitter and spat has been going off. But basically what ended up happening, correct me if I leave anything out or could feel free to add in, PlayStation decided to make Helldivers 2 require a PSN login.
For Steam, and yeah.
Yeah, for Steam. And that essentially pissed off all the existing PC users, which is, I would argue, most people, I would think.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That play the game. Not most people, just in general. But yeah. Did I leave anything out there?
I mean, that's some people might need. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, yeah. Like, they, you know, they're trying to get PC players to essentially create a PlayStation Network account to connect and link, and it's just like, yeah, true. We haven't had to do this. Right. Like, why are we all having to do this all of a sudden? This makes no sense. Like,
exactly. It's just Sony, in my opinion, it's just Sony trying to expand their ecosystem, their cloud, their outreach and community.
Yeah, perhaps.
But when you make it a requirement, people get upset.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. I would argue it's definitely unnecessary for the case of Helldivers too, but I think that's what most people are like. I don't know. Like, I don't know the major discourse. I just saw, obviously, like, the major announcements and people saying, like, you know, whenever this was first announced, a lot of people were against it. That's what I saw.
Oh, my
mostly.
Gosh, yeah.
And so, yeah.
It
and
got
I was just
review
like,
bombed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, yeah, just, you know. So I agree. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, apparently someone's paying for it.
No. 100%. So this is, the article that we're referencing here is called, well, it's a long title, but it's by Jordan Gerblick.
Gerblick?
Probably go either. I think Gerblick would be, yeah. Either way, it's Jordan at GamesRadar Plus, or GamesRadar. There's no plus. My bad. Anyways, the title of the article, it's lengthy, so prepare. Helldivers 2 community manager seemingly fired after encouraging negative reviews over now-canceled PSN mandate. And in quote, I knew I was taking a risk with what I said. Let's go. All right, so a Helldivers 2 community manager claims they have been fired after encouraging negative Steam reviews in response to Sony's newly rescinded decision. Rescinded decision to mandate PlayStation Network account linking. After it was announced last week that Helldivers 2 players on PC would be forced to link their PSN accounts to continue playing the game, an absolute tsunami of backlash hit both Sony and Arrowhead. As the din of protest continued to swell, community manager Spitz began to actively encourage players to make their voices heard, as it would give Arrowhead more pull in discussions with Sony to have the decision reversed. Well, more than 200,000 negative reviews were posted to Helldiver 2's Steam page shortly after Sony announced the change, and ultimately the decision was reversed, but not without a key casualty. Which I don't think is fair. Did you see how many content creators said that this is ridiculous, that have a massive following? Not Spitz, the community manager.
Yeah.
If anything, he should get a raise because he was on the community side. That's half his job.
He was ultimately on the right side. He's on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, dude.
Oh, it's so silly. But let's, what exactly happened? Let's continue. Over on the official Helldivers 2 Discord channel, Spitz revealed they're no longer an Arrowhead community manager, nor are they working for the studio at all. They also made clear this, in quotes, was not a voluntary exit. Okay. So this is from Spitz themselves. So generally, it's not a good idea to tell people to refund and leave negative reviews when you're a community manager. Till, is that what it is? Till? Whatever.
T-I-L, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that abbreviation is. I appreciate all the support, and I appreciate even more that everyone can play the game again without restrictions. I knew I was taking a risk with what I said about refunding and changing reviews. I stand by it. It was my job to represent the community. That's what I did.
Well
on
said.
Board with that, man.
Well said.
on
well
board with that.
Said, Fitz.
They added, I wanted to work for Arrowhead because they're my all-time favorite studio. I got that chance. I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'd happily continue working for them if I had a choice, but that isn't up to me or anyone else in here. I can walk away happy, and I don't want anyone causing trouble on my behalf, especially not to people I still have a lot of care and respect for. Jeez. So without knowing the full situation, Jordan over here reached out to Arrowhead for comment, and it's hard to say exactly what went into Spitz's apparent firing, but if it was solely based on his encouraging players to leave bad reviews, Jordan over here thinks it's safe to say they went down fighting the good fight. I think that's fair enough.
I agree.
I would agree with that statement.
I agree. Damn. Yeah. It's so unfortunate, man, because, like, I think overall he did the I understand from a company saying, like, you know, it would be weird if someone was encouraging people to leave negative reviews on your product. But I mean, I think him echoing the community's clear disdain with the decision to try and add this PlayStation Network link. I mean, I think overall, like, you know, he had to do what he had to do to try and do this. And overall, it was a W, right? Like, I think,
yes.
And, you know, it's unfortunate. 100%. It's unfortunate he lost his job for it. I saw a Twitter post earlier saying that, for one of the news outlets, saying that there was a petition to rehire him. I don't know if that will have any, like, sway to try and get him back there. I don't necessarily think it's just to fire him for that. I think overall they were, like, I think, you know, like, he's kind of saying he's on the right side of history. So, more power to him for kind of sticking to his guns and, you know, just saying, like, hey, it's clear that no one likes this. So if you want him to listen, let's just review bomb, because that's the only, like, tangible thing we can do at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the poor guy stuck up for what he believed in, and I'm sure he got axed for that. I could see somebody in the higher ups, the corporate, the developer, just being like, yeah, I mean, you come on, man. You can't really be saying bad things about us in general and then still be on our side. I could see it being like that. Or some people might have their feelings hurt. Maybe they had, like, it was their decision to make that, and you got a guy underneath you that's saying that's a terrible decision and ridiculing you online.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
But I agree with what he did, man. That's his job. He's a community manager.
Yeah.
Got to represent the community. Got to be the front-facing person with the public.
Yeah.
Kind of like a PR person.
I mean, yeah. And we don't know the full story, right? Like, maybe he was going to, you know, the upper offices and, like, saying, like, we need to do something about this, because it's clear that the community is not on board with this, and it's going to have serious ramifications to our IP. You know, if we stick with this and people are not going to play, and we're going to lose a lot of the player base, so we have to do something. They're probably just like, they'll live with it. They'll figure it out, you know, whatever. And then maybe he's just like, you know what? Why don't y'all tell them how you feel, really how you feel, you know, and just review bomb.
Jeez, but, man.
Hey, it worked. Sony walked it back, which I thought was interesting. I wasn't sure they were going to, because I thought Sony was gonna be pretty, like, steadfast and holding on to that.
They're pretty serious about their, like, IPs, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, but not sharing.
But, I mean, you know, got to give it to Sony for, you know, listening, because it's again,
shocker.
I didn't think they were going to. So, but the community yells.
They probably, they probably weren't expecting that much of a backlash. So.
Oh yeah,
pretty cool to see that it actually worked. But we're not going to cover it here. But before we move on to the next article, Jordan over here said that he wrote another article, and it's basically, meanwhile, Helldiver 2 grunts want the PSN drama immortalized as an in-game cape, and the devs are already working on a good name for it. So
hey, the
devs could be like, this is a good meme, let's try to make some money off of it.
see, that's the good smart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's also just funny. It's like little things like that I love devs doing.
Yeah.
A good example of this, I brought it up a couple of times, but I'll remind you anyway, because who knows, maybe somebody doesn't know this. When Rocket League first launched, it was so popular so quickly, they didn't have proper servers to host everybody. So the internet was terrible. The servers were awful. And you would have this, like, disconnect logo. And if you played Rocket League enough, you've seen it at least once.
Yeah.
And it would come up in the top left-hand corner saying, like, lag spike, latency issues, disconnect from internet. It was so bad that they created RIMS, like an overhead, what's it called, an antenna for your for your vehicle in Rocket League of that disconnect symbol. And you can only get it I think the first like 6 months of the game. It's so funny.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it.
A little bit of added lore. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what's not so good is the next studio that we get to talk about
It's funny, man.
Next few things.
Well, this really sucks. I'm not saying the article's funny, but I was saying just thinking from a podcast standpoint, I was like, oh, we could like throw this at the end. It's obviously the article of the week. Like, it's obviously the biggest story.
Yeah.
But then I was like, this is going to provide other context to later developments that happen, which we cover later. So
yes, sir. Yeah,
good setup for that. And also, it is storming at my place. So I'm praying I keep my power.
You're getting the terrible storm because there were like tornadoes coming through where I was at.
Oh, geez.
And that happened about 5 hours ago.
Mm.
So,
yeah, so I guess we're getting I'm getting the tail end of that. Oh man, it's I see. I was checking my weather app while you were like talking. It's a nice little lightning bolts going through the weather app, and like for the next hour, it's like supposed to be raining. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you lose power, then we'll have to come back later and splice everything in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep track if you lose it.
You know, I a little behind the scenes. You know, I record an MKV around here so we can keep the file in case OBS crashes. So you know, we try to save this once before. Yeah,
I think so.
Anyway, but this is perfect ambiance for me that nobody can hear because my mic won't pick it up. But it's storming outside, and this is a stormy period for Microsoft. So here we go.
It is.
Microsoft closes Redfall developer Arcane Austin, Hi-Fi Rush developer Tango Gameworks, and more in devastating cuts at Bethesda, staff were told via an email. This dropped. If anyone's at all familiar with like the gaming industry as a whole, I'm sure you're made aware of this, whether it was on Twitter or some other outlet. It was all over the place yesterday morning, Tuesday morning, I guess. Because this dropped May 7th. This was posted at literally 9 a.m., so it's like right at the start of the East Coast and kind of right at the start of the day. It's like, hello, here's the bad news. So this is coming from Wesley Yinpool over at IGN, because IGN, I think, was one of the first outlets to kind of break this. So, Microsoft has closed a number of Bethesda studios, including Redfall maker Arcane Austin, Hi-Fi Rush, and Evil Within developer Tango Gameworks, and more in devastating cuts at Bethesda, IGN confirmed. Alpha Dog Games, maker of mobile game Mighty Doom, will also close. Roundhouse Studios will be absorbed by the Elder Scrolls Online developer ZeniMax Online Studios. Microsoft, currently valued at over $3 trillion, did not say how many staff will lose their jobs, but significant layoffs are inevitable. IGN has asked Bethesda for comment. Microsoft declined to expand further when contacted by IGN. On Redfall, the disastrous vampire co-op game will now not receive promised updates, including an offline mode and new character DLC, as Microsoft has ended all development on the game. Microsoft said Redfall will remain online to play, and it will provide a make-good offer for those who bought the Hero DLC. Because just to backtrack a little bit, for people that don't know when Redfall first came out, like the Hero DLC was kind of like a battle pass sort of thing. Like, oh, you can buy this and this content's coming later. And like people were promised that. But yeah, it's been kind of weird too, because we really haven't heard hardly anything since they did the 60 FPS update. I think it was like back in November or something like that. So we just haven't heard anything. And then sure enough, Arcane Studios put out a post on Tuesday morning, kind of a statement of sorts. They said, today was announced that Arcane Austin will close and development will not continue on Redfall. To everyone that has supported the work from our Austin studios over the years, thank you. Thank you for spending time in our worlds and making them your own. Arcane Leon will continue their focus on immersive experiences where they are hard at work on their upcoming project. Redfall players will purchase the Hero Pass as part of the Premium Bite Back Edition, or the Premium Bite Back upgrade will be eligible to receive the value of the upgrade. While there will be no further updates, Redfall servers will remain online for players to enjoy. That's the other thing, too. It's really strange. Like, there's other games that have done this in the past, too, where it's like DLC or something hasn't like worked out, or like a studio shut down, and so they like refund certain aspects, but it's never like a dollar for dollar refund. It's like, we'll give you an equivalent refund in some other currency or like other game. It's weird.
Or in-store credit to another platform or something like that. Yeah.
Which is like, if I spent all that money, like it's what, like $100, if I spent like all that money, it's like I'd very much enjoy to get my money back, but I'm sure there's probably fine print somewhere in the UELA that they put that 100%. Says like, we'll give you the equivalent if we have to refund. Anyway, continuing, Arcane Leon which was working on Marvel's Blade, survives the cull, as does Bethesda Game Studios, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Starfield, the Machine Games, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Doom developer id Software is also unaffected. This is where it gets interesting. So in an email to staff sent by Matt Booty, head of Xbox Game Studios, Microsoft blamed the cuts on the reprioritization of titles and resources. The email verified by IGN reads as below. So he said,
toxic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Brace yourselves. So today I'm sharing changes we are making to our Bethesda and ZeniMax teams. These changes are grounded in prioritizing high-impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio of blockbuster games and beloved worlds, which you have nurtured over many decades. Just stopping there, it's very interesting that this, because when I was initially reading this Tuesday morning, I saw like the first paragraph in his email, and I was like, my brain immediately went to, are they trying to like get a Fallout game out sooner? Like, what's going on here? Like, are we trying to pivot to these other well-known IPs? Because part of me thinks they're like, obviously there's a lot of financial stuff behind this, but part of me thinks it's like, we just need to focus on current IP that we can get out quicker than like new IP that's going to take 5-6 years, right? That's just mine.
Or be a risk.
Yeah, that's exactly. You just don't know.
Try to get paid. Shareholders. I got to pay off the shareholders.
Gotta pay them, dude. So, continuing on the email, he said, to double down on these franchises and invest to build new ones requires us to look across the business to identify the opportunities that are best positioned for success. This reprioritization of titles and resources means a few teams will be realigned to others and that some of our colleagues will be leaving us. I hate that last sentence. He's like, some of our colleagues will be leaving us. You fire them, all right? Yeah. All right, Mr. Booty, you fire them, dude. All right, they're out of there. Here are the changes going into effect. Arcane Austin, the studio will close with some members of the team joining other studios to work on projects across Bethesda. Arcane Austin has a history of making impactful and innovative games and it is a pedigree that everyone should be proud of. Redfall's previous update will be its last and we end all development on the game. The game and its service will remain online for players to enjoy and we will provide make good offers to players who purchase the early DLC. That's the thing about Arcane Austin. Like, with
the bandit up, holy moly.
Yeah, they very much did. I think, see, the thing about Arcane, it's like when I was initially thinking about this, I was like, yeah, well, like Redfall definitely was a disaster of a launch and just a release.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of makes sense to a certain extent, like, you know, if they're just kind of cutting the studio. But then I also remembered, like, they made Prey, which was like a good game. So it's like, there was a lot of talented people there. That being said, we reported last year, whenever Redfall came out, like Jason Schreier put out a whole kind of article stating about the development, how like tumultuous it was, and like how there was a ton of people just left over the course of the development. So it was kind of like just a lot of the people, there were people that literally like signed up and like interviewed to work at Arcane because they were like, oh, I'm working on a Prey game, or like I'm working on something crazy. And then they find out that it's just like a weird kind of, you know, multiplayer looter shooter kind of thing. It's just like not what anyone signed up for. So I mean, I think to a certain extent, a lot of people probably like just kind of left, and there was a lot of turnover. So it's probably just like at this rate, it kind of to a certain extent makes sense, even though it still sucks to just kind of get rid of the studio. But anyways, let's continue. So Alpha Dog Studios, this studio will also close. We appreciate the team's creativity in bringing Doom to new players. Mighty Doom will be sunset on August 7th, and we will be turning off the ability for players to make any purchases in the game. Now, the biggest studio, the one that makes sense to nobody, including me.
Makes zero sense. Why?
Tango Gameworks. Tango Gameworks will also close. We are thankful for their contributions to Bethesda and players around the world. Hi-Fi Rush will continue to be available to players on the platforms it is today. Like, we're talking about Hi-Fi Rush. This is one of the best drops that Xbox had, and just like the industry had in general last year, of just like a solid game a lot of people really liked. It's like the studio did good. Xbox sung its praises. I'm pretty sure, like, I just read something. Phil Spencer, like, even visited the Tango Gameworks offices back in, like, September, and he's, like, taking pictures of the staff, and it's, like, they're all, like, it's just awesome, right? Just crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
It was critically acclaimed, too. And they didn't do just Hi-Fi Rush. They also did The Evil Within 1 and 2, and they did Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah. Which were all like, good.
These aren't bad. Yeah, these are all really good. Really good games. So why them in particular?
Yeah.
Why? That's...
The only thing I can really think of, and I know there was like, I think there was rumors for this, but I think it was later confirmed that there was like one of the main like studio heads at some point had left, and he brought some people with him I think there was another like major kind of departure at some point. So like maybe this team was a little broken up, especially then whenever like first started even working on Hi-Fi Rush. So there was some people that left there. Yeah. I mean, however, there's still, I think, a collective team there that could have done some really cool stuff. So just to kind of like give up on that just because maybe a couple people left. But that's like, I mean, that's kind of the theory, right? Like it's just like people are saying, oh, a couple people left. So that, you know, can influence, you know, why they may have closed it. But like, I think there's still a lot of good ideas and juice left in the tank. It still makes no sense. Like when you really think about it, it's just like, why? Like there's no reason to close a studio like this. And then
it doesn't make sense. It's just so many questions. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then we rounded out with Roundhouse Games. Pun intended. Sorry, that was a bad pun. The teams at Roundhouse Games will be joining ZeniMax Online Studios. Roundhouse has played a key role. Thunder just really shook my house. That terrified me.
I actually heard it in the background. So yeah,
I was surprised it didn't jump. Anyway, Roundhouse has played a key role in many of our recent game launches and bringing them into ZeniMax Online Studios to work on the Elder Scrolls Online will mean we can do even more to grow the world that millions of players call home. With this consolidation of our Bethesda studio teams so that we can invest more deeply in our portfolio of games and new IP, a small number of roles across select Bethesda publishing and corporate teams will also be eliminated. I don't think there's really been many details around that yet, but it just sucks that there's like even more like roles going. So there's like even, especially on ZeniMax, there was additional info that said there was people that were offered like voluntary severance if they wanted to leave and stuff like that. It was like, it's really weird stuff.
Oh, that's pretty typical when you start getting, like when these acquisitions happen and then the going gets tough, immediately like the conglomerate that owns the smaller companies are just like, okay, we got to make costs. Let's not make them in our own studio because like these are my boys. Like, let's go to this newly acquired one. Like, who? Because to them, it's like that's a new employee kind of thing. Yeah. Not even realizing it's like you're destroying a company culture that could have been there longer than you've existed. Like, it just depends on the circumstances. Wild behavior.
Absolutely wild. There's a few paragraphs left. This is a very long email that was sent by Matt. Those whose roles will be impacted will be notified today, and we ask that you please treat your departing colleagues with respect and compassion. Mr. Booty, I don't know what to say, man.
Send an email with that, okay.
We will provide our full support to those who are impacted in today's notifications through transitions, including severance benefits, informing local laws. Because, you know, you kind of have to.
Because of local laws. At least they didn't push around. Like, because some companies would be like, for the goodness of our hearts, we're going to give you severance packages, benefits, and health insurance until you find a new place. I'm glad he actually had, like, saying local laws to me is kind of a nice little touch because it's like I'm not gonna lie to you guys, we wouldn't do this unless it was local laws. Like, I kind of respect that a little bit.
Like the bluntness that you kind of expect. Like,
it's like this is a bad situation. The worst you can do now is like lie to me. Don't dress it up, just rip the band-aid off. You're doing this because the law says I have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These changes, this is the best paragraph, Mike. These changes are not a reflection of the creativity and skill of the talented individuals of these teams or the risk they took to try new things. Well, I sure hope not, because they made some pretty awesome stuff, and we're just getting rid of them.
That's probably the most true sentence there.
Yeah, like exactly. Like,
except for the Redfall team. I mean, that was just trash, but...
Yeah. you know. I acknowledge that these changes are also disruptive to the various support teams across ZeniMax and Bethesda that bring our games to market. Yeah, probably going to shake up the culture a little bit. You know, it's probably going to happen. Yeah. You know, fire a bunch of people and close studios. We are making these tough decisions to create capacity to increase investment in other parts of our portfolio and focus on our priority games. You know, we get it. Listen, you're getting rid of all these people just so you can work on the next Fallout title, baby. We all know it. Just come out with it. Be like, hey, working on these big IP.
Yeah, that's really what they're saying.
Bethesda remains one of the key pillars of Xbox with a strong portfolio of amazing games and thriving communities. As we look to the future, there is an impressive lineup of games on the horizon. 2024 alone, we have Starfield Shattered Space, Fallout 76 Skyline Valley, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, and The Elder Scrolls Online's Golden Road. As we align our plans and resources to best set ourselves up for success in this complex and changing industry, our teams across Arcane Lyon, Bethesda Game Studios, id Software, Machine Games, ZeniMax Online Studios, and the Bethesda Publishing and corporate teams will be well-positioned to build new IP, explore new game concepts, and expand our existing franchises. Signed, Matthew Booty.
Yep. Well, that's a booty statement, dude.
It's booty, dude. Straight up.
It's tough. I hate to be him for like sending it out, because that's just thing choices are made, and you know, this was like a big higher C level decision.
Yeah.
I wonder what the pros and cons were. You know, I mean, it's all, I mean, it's a business. They're trying to make money, right? But why these studios in particular?
Just why these guys, you know? Yeah, just...
yeah, why these guys?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Why not the other ones? Why do it at all when you're a $3 trillion company? You can afford to take a couple of losses for a couple of years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we have so much money. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are you not willing to fund
creativity?
It's
never enough,
dude. Like, what's going on, man?
It's shareholder value, increasing profits, tiering, and all that kind of crap. It's basically like when people buy stocks, they want to see their numbers go up.
Yeah.
Some people legitimately think the stock market is gambling. So it's
that's a point.
You can't talk to these people, and I don't know. It's a lot of self-interest, and it comes with a sacrifice. I don't even know. It's just like sacrificing ordinary people that are your employees that might have company loyalty. You're basically showing to them, yeah, we don't care about your loyalty. We care about the profit.
Yeah.
We got to shut this place down.
Trying new things.
So
I don't know what that is, brother. What is that?
No, it's business. It's a plague, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Let's run out of the rest of the story. I just want to read the last little bit because I thought it was interesting. So in a series of tweets, Arcane Leon chief Dinga Bakaba. What a name, dude.
We've covered that before, but yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
It's
so, yeah, anyways, yeah, he put out a series of tweets. Yeah. He hit out at the cuts, calling them absolutely terrible. To any executive reading this, friendly reminder that video games are an entertainment cultural industry, and your business as a corporation is to take care of your artists, entertainers, and help them create value for you. Don't throw us into gold fever gambits. Don't use us as straw men for miscalculations, blind spots. Don't make our work Darwinist jungles. You say we make you proud when we make a good game. Make us proud when times are tough. We can, you know, we've seen it before. For now, great teams are sunsetting before our eyes again, and it's a effing gut stab. Leon is safe, but please be tactful and discerning about all this, and respect affected folks' voice, and leave it room to be heard. It's their story to tell and their feeling to express. Oh man, stopping there for a second. He kind of spitting, Mike. Oh my gosh,
dude,
he's spitting
facts, dude. Holy moly, so dude. He's the chief of Arcane Leon. Yeah. I'm immediately applying there,
dude. Right?
Immediately, because if he knows,
he gets.
Yeah, because. Yeah, your CEO is just like, yo, dude, like, we need to survive. Take care of your boys because they took care of you. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's a company man right there. Like, not just a company man to be a company man, but just like what a company really means.
Yeah.
The people underneath you that you're supervising and working with. Like,
yeah,
it's going. That's leadership, baby.
That's leadership. Understanding the people under you is what really makes it happen, right? Like, it's everyone as a collective kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too. Like, you know, you work in these studios, like, it's so weird to me because, like, and this is something I mentioned, too, like, the CEO of Microsoft, like, I'd heard, too, it's like, obviously, he's a businessman, right? So, like, that's his forte. Like, he's just kind of, you know, working in businesses where it's very analytical and stuff like that. It's weird, though, because, like, Xbox, like, he's, like, you know, Bakaba saying, I mean, it's a very, this is a creative industry, right? Like, it's a very, like, kind of, like, it's sparked from creativity. The business is just a side effect of that. So it's like to understand kind of like you need to nurture stuff. Not everything's going to be a hit but that's like the beauty of it, right? Is that, you know, come up with a good idea, you lead a good team, it's going to have good results. And like, you know, you have one bad game or kind of things aren't looking up business wise. It's like, that's not to say it's like going to be like terrible throughout the rest of that, you know, company's, you know, life cycle. It's there's chance for it to be redeemed and stuff, but they're just not willing to, you know, sacrifice a little bit on the front end to, you know, probably,
you're 100%
you know,
correct,
get
yeah.
awesome stuff. So it just sucks, Mike. It just stinks, you know.
Yeah, but I think you and I have been saying what he's been saying for the longest time, but it always hits heavier when it's the head of a studio, head of an entire like developer. So it's going to get more attention for sure. And that's good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. It's Yeah, that's wild. I mean, he continues to go on. He said, inside baseball, but if I read immersive sim curse for the community, especially from a fellow dev, I swear to God, please, let's talk about the real challenges instead of rehashing irrational anxieties of the past. Even more inside baseball, but with a very, very wide range, as a wise and sorely missed man said, please stop. Please stop, dude. Stop.
Just stop. Stop.
Stop it. Get some help.
That's oh, jeez, dude. I think these are some of the most shocking. Yeah. Only because I didn't expect those studios. Yeah, some of the ones in the past, I've expected. I mean, you and I have probably been calling for Ubisoft to be the next ones. Not because we're wishing for that to happen.
Yeah.
Just because it seems so obvious that they're dire straits, man. They're like, it's bad. They're banking a lot on Star Wars Outlaws. Yeah. So hopefully it pops off. But I mean, dude, who knows?
Yeah, it's who just, knows? Quadruple A titles, the, Mike. Quadruple A. Yeah.
Don't even know what that is anymore. We need to redefine double and triple and quadruple, I guess. Some of these indie devs are better than triple A. Yeah. Nuts.
I was seeing jokes. And again, I never wish for a studio to shut down. It's just all around terrible. But like,
absolutely.
But like, are we not going to talk about, just real quick, Mike, we're not going to stay on this long. Are we not going to talk about how 343 has been consistently dropping the bag, bro, and roasting their entire team? Like, they've been collapsing before our very eyes, but they're fine to stay. Like, I'm just saying,
you know why they're fine to stay? I know why they're fine to stay. Mm. They don't have real employees. They're all contract employees working for like 9 months. They don't have full benefits. Everybody's just kind of going in there and winging it. And now you see the studio heads. Oh my God. Do you remember when we were watching that like season premiere where Nick basically was like, yeah, I'm done with Halo Infinite, I'm never playing it again. And then he like went out. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And I saw they brought out this community person that's operating matchmaking. This one woman that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
I posted in the chat and I said, wow, I can't believe they just brought somebody out here to then blame her like they did with all the other people that were in her spotlight. Until they inevitably left. Remember that?
Yeah.
Literally, the next sentence, he was saying like Master Chief or matchmaking, the MMR system, and the reason why you can't find stuff is like she's been in charge of matchmaking system for the last like 3 or 4 months. So she's the one that's been in charge of it. Like literally critiqued it.
Oh man.
And then told the audience that it was her responsibility.
Oh, dude.
And then that was her introduction, dude.
You just sent her off to the fire, dude. Just like sent
they
her off
to straight the up, can't, like, that is like, I don't even know, just like throwing somebody under the bus the first time you meet them. That is so disrespectful.
Oh, man.
And it's just, you do that in a public forum when you're addressing your community and one of the largest IPs in all of gaming, and I can't believe there weren't more people talking about it.
Yeah.
It blew my mind when I saw that. Yeah, don't get me started on that. We should just have like an entire roast of all the developers that deserve to be gone, aren't. You know.
Again, no, I'm not wishing for studios to close, but like
that one.
There's certain trades you can make here that probably make more sense.
Yeah, 343 needs an exorcism, dude. There's no like that thing. I don't even know, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we
should we go
on.
Inside the?
We continue on, Mike.
Yeah.
With the Microsoft.
This is
stuff.
About to be. Yeah, honestly, this is about to be one of the longest episodes for Microsoft stuff because it's back to back to back.
It's worth talking about.
But that's fine. It is worth talking about. There's a lot of interest in this, I think. To start off, this is Tom Warren, our boy. We cover all the time. He's at The Verge, as a lot of people know. If you don't, follow him on Twitter. I don't think anybody like disregards anything he says. I think he's like highly respected. So,
yeah, so
definitely check him out. Senior editor for The Verge. So he wrote about inside Microsoft's Xbox turmoil. So Microsoft is making tough Xbox decisions amid a game industry that's hurting. Makes sense. Ooh. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of context, a little bit of throwback, and a lot of it sort of covering a bit of what
some
Kyle
of
just
it,
got done talking
yeah,
about.
Some of it's kind of cross-pollinated. So
yeah, it's definitely cross-pollinated, but it adds a little bit more context. Yeah. So there's going to be repeats, but it's also going to, you'll see what we're talking about. So just hours after learning that Microsoft was shutting down a number of game studios this week, Dinga Bakaba, I think, hopefully, head of Microsoft-owned Arcane Lyon, decided to let the company know how we felt about the decision right in public. Don't throw us into gold fever gambits. Don't use us as straw men for miscalculations, blind spots. Don't make our work environments Darwinistic jungles. It's tough. We just covered it. Oh my God. All right. Bakuba, whose studio wasn't impacted by the layoffs this week, and his message was aimed at any executive reading this, including the Xbox leaders behind the latest wave of layoffs. It was a rare public display of criticism, but sources at Microsoft tell me it reflects a growing discontent and fear among Xbox employees about what comes next. You can't blame them. You really can't.
Blame them at all, dude. I'd be scared. Like, you kidding me?
Yeah, you see, like, probably one of the most profitable companies in the world, and they're just laying off massive studios.
I'd be scared, also pissed. It's like a weird combination. I'd be like, what's going on?
I would do one of these moves. It's just like, if that happens to me, and I'm in that situation, and I'm working for Xbox, and Microsoft is coming in, going over Xbox, like, studio heads, and then basically saying, like, okay, we're going to shut down this studio, and basically, like, pull from a draw hat, it seems. I would immediately lose any type of loyalty to Xbox games, yeah. Xbox Studios. I would take a step back. I would recalibrate my life. I would go on LinkedIn, and then I would start networking like an MFer.
Yeah, like crazy.
Just to make sure I'm okay. Because when it happens, and you can double up on that severance, you're going to be good. But you got to be prepared, because this is, especially in the United States, you really got to be prepared. Yeah. You lose your employment, you lose health insurance. That's not a game. Yeah, so you got to be good. Anyways, so where am I at? Right here. Microsoft's latest round of layoffs shocked both employees and fans. Arcane Austin's big Redfall update was on the way with a new offline mode, and the DLC was being worked on just hours before the studio was closed.
Dude, that's crazy.
No idea.
So working on the game.
So The other one is the shutdown of Tango Gameworks, the studio behind Hi-Fi Rush, has surprised people the most. Hi-Fi Rush was one of the most critically acclaimed games that came out of pretty much nowhere. Yeah. Incredible. So this is staggering. The game was considered an Xbox hit, winning praise among critics and making its way to PS5 earlier this year. Even Microsoft was happy with Hi-Fi Rush. And then, quote by Aaron Greenberg, head of Xbox Games Marketing just a year ago, said, Hi-Fi Rush was a breakout hit for us and our players in all key measurements and expectations. We couldn't be happier with what the team at Tango Gameworks delivered with the surprise release. He said that when he also announced that Hi-Fi Rush was going to PlayStation 5. So that's like crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Wild. I mean, he's marketing, whatever. He probably doesn't understand what they're doing in the higher ups, and he's got to put a face on. But geez, man, it's like lying to your face. Anyway, so Greenberg and Xbox chief Phil Spencer both visited Tango Gameworks in September, playing games with the team and posing for group photos. Now, the studio is in the latest victim of layoffs that have rocked the game industry over the past 18 months. Didn't Phil Spencer, or was this Sony? I think it was the Sony head, right? That went to the studio.
Jim Ryan.
Yeah, dude. This is some London Jim Ryan. He goes to the London studio. Oh, he's hanging out with everybody. He's like, you guys are doing a great job. The next day when he's home,
it's
like closing this down.
It's like a week or two later. He's like, out of here. Dude, like, what? Like, he was just at the studio, and then 2 weeks later, they're like, you're done.
Okay. Yeah, like, praising him, too. It's just like, you know what? Just wanted to look you in the face, then go home and type it up. But like, want to look you in the face and tell you it's over.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. And then he's like resigning. Oh, dude.
It's embarrassing. Gosh. He deserved to resign, to be honest.
I was not looking good for Sony. So.
Yeah. Well, they're playing catch up now, and Xbox is apparently destroying their brand. Great. Let's get into this. So, 3 Bethesda studios, Arcane Austin, Tango Gameworks, and Alpha Dog Games are being shuttered, and the team at Roadhouse Studios is moving into ZeniMax Online Studios. The studio closures come less than 6 months after Microsoft laid off 1,900 Activision Blizzard and Xbox employees, and just months after Sony closed some of its own game studios and laid off around 900 employees. The depressing list of layoffs at game studios continues to grow on a weekly basis. with GTA 6 and BioShock publisher Take-Two laying off hundreds of employees last month and cutting projects. Inside Xbox, there's now uncertainty about the future holds and questions over Microsoft's gaming strategy. While Microsoft is looking toward a more PC-like future for its Xbox console, the company continues to battle a slowdown in Game Pass subscribers, lackluster Xbox console sales, and game launch delays. I get the game launch delays, but Xbox, the Game Pass subscribers, bro, yeah, it's slowing down, but that doesn't mean it's not growing.
Yeah.
Because it is growing.
I mean, I think so. I think there was an article recently talking about, I don't know if it was Game Pass was stagnant at this point or if it was still, like, it was barely growing. Like, I think it's maybe slowed down some.
You're right. It's stagnating what they thought. It's still growing, but that's been the whole shift and the whole thing that Microsoft's been doing the last year of trying to get Game Pass on everything. Right. I'm pretty sure if Phil Spencer could get Game Pass on a PS5, he would do it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Like, he's just, that's just their model. Like, that's what they're trying to do now. That's their model. But yeah, how much do you need, bro? Like, you're the most profitable company in the world. All right, let's continue. A combination of these events led to four previously Xbox exclusive games launching on the PS5 recently and some landing on Nintendo Switch. I reported earlier, so Tom Warren reported earlier this year that Microsoft had been considering bringing Gears of War to rival consoles, and we're still waiting to see if a long-rumored Gears of War collection is ever confirmed, which we might find out. When is the Xbox Game Showcase? Is that next month?
Three weeks.
We'll definitely cover that, so like and subscribe. And where are we at here? Either way, Tom is still expecting to see more Xbox games arrive on PS5 and Switch. It'll be interesting to see if the Xbox Game Showcase in June, that's what it is, includes any new announcements for rival hardware. I would think so. Continuing on, just kind of power through. It's lengthy, so that's why I'm sort of reading right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay, here we are. Microsoft has also had internal debates about whether to put new releases of Call of Duty into Game Pass. Tom understands this is a debate that has been ongoing internally for quite some time, with concerns from some that the revenue that Call of Duty typically generates for Activision Blizzard will be undermined by Game Pass. That would be an interesting topic, but I think if you put on Game Pass, you are losing sales. So yeah, you're gonna lose a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be $70 a lot of that, games.
Yeah, a lot of that direct, like, you get, you're definitely gonna lose money there, yeah. I think.
The bottom, like the baseline, you're gonna lose that, but you're still gonna make a ton off the game, like the, not the Game Pass, Battle Pass.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all at that point. Yeah, exactly. Like at that point, you're banking on the microtransactions, Battle Pass. Like, yeah,
yeah. And then, dude, could you imagine decals being something you have to pay for instead of unlocking?
I mean, it could get to like that. Grinding. I mean, if it goes to Game Pass, I wouldn't be surprised, Mike.
I think you're right. That's they got to find the money somewhere, and they'll use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sad. All right, let's get some more context of investigator Tom Warren. He said that Microsoft has also considered increasing the price of the Game Pass Ultimate again. These are only considerations, so a final decision could mean we still see a future Call of Duty release appear in most versions of Game Pass. The debate internally reflects the fact that Microsoft's Xbox strategy has shifted from just delivering its games exclusively into Game Pass to considering bringing more Xbox games to multiple platforms. In yesterday's memo from Matt Booty, which we read in the previous article, Matt Booty, who is the head of Xbox Game Studios, there was a hint of reprioritization for Bethesda teams that we may well see elsewhere with Xbox. So they said, or an excerpt from the memo was, these changes are grounded in prioritizing high-impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio of blockbuster games. Yikes. So, that was Booty saying that, and before noting that Xbox is doubling down on Bethesda franchises that are best positioned for success. That means no more risks, that means no more new IPs, that means recycled garbage, no risk, no, like, actual legitimate reward, and it's all to set up expectations for the bottom line.
Listen,
on the stock market,
we're pumping out stuff we know will work, in quotes.
Yeah, but what about Hi-Fi Rush 2, bro?
That's what I'm saying. That You already know there was probably talks, you know,
at the studio. Like, dude, we gotta level up
on this. We gotta get that idea going. 100%. You know?
Whatever, man. So this is where Tom asked the question. Did Hi-Fi Rush really not meet that bar? Now there will be inevitable questions about what other Xbox games aren't best positioned for success.
Ain't that the truth? There's going to be so many questions.
There's a lot of, like, if Hi-Fi Rush can't do it?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. If a studio with that level of success is in trouble, like, is, you know, not in trouble, but, like, is susceptible to being closed, it's going to be, like, I feel like there's so many studios now that are just going to be questioned amongst the fans of, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just in general, like, is this the last game? Like, are they going to make another one after this? You just don't know.
Well, if you're in one of these studios that are like developers that are under the conglomerate of Xbox Game Studios and they just took out Hi-Fi Rush, that's got to be a warning shot, man.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it not only affects morale, like, you know, around the studios close to like Bethesda umbrella, but it's Xbox as a whole. Like, you got to think there's got to be some level of concern from everybody. So, yeah.
It's brutal. But there are some big IPs on the horizon, which is where this starts getting a little bit more context of, I guess, hopefully their mission. Tom's a pretty good investigator, I feel like. So let's continue on what he's got to say. So Xbox now has a strong lineup of games planned for 2024, with Senua Saga's Hellblade 2 set to debut in a matter of weeks on May 21st. He understands Hellblade 2 is another game that Microsoft has been considering for PS5, if that ever happens. At this point, it's not clear if even that would be considered a success. That's very true.
Dude, yeah, I'm honestly kind of worried about Ninja Theory now. Like, I just, like, all these studios, just concerned now. Like, if this doesn't, especially if a game doesn't do well, it's like, oh no, like,
that's true, man. I mean, let's be real. What, like, Redfall, that kind of made sense.
That's what I was saying earlier. Like,
that was a really bad game.
Like, yeah, but, like, Redfall is just an unmitigated disaster, literally. So, I mean, you're almost not surprised. I mean, they've made good games in the past, so I think there's probably even some stuff that wasn't entirely their fault. They probably, I don't even think it was the studio's first choice to make a Redfall, but they were just Xbox, and they had pressure from outside, you know, people saying, like, hey, you got to do this, and...
Yeah, we honestly don't know the full story of what happened at that studio. Maybe there are people that, like, they called up Xbox Studios that they had good relationships with, and they're like, this ain't working over here on Redfall. I need to get on a different project and then transfer over, like, use the relocation, something, you know? You never really know what happened. You lose a couple of key people in leadership positions, everything could fall apart rapidly.
Exactly.
So
you
got to be careful. But so where am I at? Okay, so Xbox employees are now bracing for what's next, as it seems unlikely that we've seen the last of Microsoft gaming layoffs and cutbacks. There are whispers among employees that core Xbox game studios are set for cutbacks next month. Last month, Microsoft reported that Xbox hardware revenue was down by 31% year over year, and an obvious admission that this was driven, in quotes, driven by lower volumes of consumer consoles sold. So, yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, they haven't been trying to do that the whole time.
Yeah. But now they're trying to, like you're saying, they're trying to get everything everywhere. So,
yeah.
How can you do that?
But that
Game Pass.
Yeah. And Phil Spencer said multiple times, he's like the head of Xbox, that said, we're not trying to sell consoles anymore. Yeah. But then Microsoft's coming out just like, I mean, we're not really getting hardware revenue in. It's like, bro, you're a software company. Why do you care about hardware in the first place? What are you talking about? Whatever. So last year, Microsoft reported a 30% drop in Xbox hardware revenue, blaming increased console supply from the prior year in 2022. Sony PS5 sales have also slowed, but not like Microsoft's. It's also expensive to buy anything. That's we saw the TikTok trending video of people struggling just to fill their gas tanks, man.
It's kind of hard to live
out. It's tough out in these streets. Yeah. Man, have you seen the cost of eggs, bro? Crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
So, while Xbox hardware sales are a cause for concern, Microsoft has been beating the Xbox Game Pass drum in recent years, telling us the Xbox, with this quote, the Xbox business isn't how many consoles you sell. That is what I was talking about. They don't care about the consoles anymore. But Microsoft's latest earnings report showed that the Xbox content and services, which includes Xbox Game Pass, would have only been up a single percent without Activision Blizzard and overall gaming revenue would have declined without this giant acquisition. That's nuts. Wow. So Microsoft CFO Amy Hood is now expecting Xbox hardware revenues to decline again next quarter. I mean, duh. Yeah, of course you should.
It's just crazy. It's crazy to think that, like, you know, if that acquisition didn't happen, like, Xbox would be worse state. It's just like,
oh, man.
I mean, okay, so what does it say? Overall gaming revenue would have been declined without this giant acquisition. Okay, so I'm thinking what this is saying is the latest earnings showed that the Xbox content and services, including Game Pass, would have only been up a single percent year over year. I think that's what this is about. That doesn't mean that it doesn't have gaming revenue.
Yeah.
Or have revenue. I think it's just the growth. Yeah. Like, they always concentrate on the growth, but it's like, dude, if you're profitable by 25% every year, that's good, right?
Yeah, that is
good. You shouldn't be saying, like, if the next year you only do 26%, you're just like, yeah, oh, we're only 1% better. Oh, it's like,
year over year, we're only 2% better.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're still way in the black. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know what? This is a good time for us to shut down popular studios. That's all we'll make the revenue back.
I'm not even laughing at this studio. It's just like, it's just so ridiculous that that's probably the thought pattern. Like, I think you're probably right.
It's 100% the thought pattern, because now they're saying, like, oh, the decline quarter.
It's just ridiculous, dude.
How much money you need, man? Okay, let's keep going. Microsoft's gaming business isn't growing without Activision Blizzard right now, and how that plays out throughout 2024 will be a key for all Xbox studios. Microsoft has a busy fall ahead of Xbox, with Bethesda currently targeting September for a Starfield expansion, Shattered Space, Activision planning the next Call of Duty for late October, and Avowed and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 likely to follow in November. To top that all off, Indiana Jones is currently planned for December. Those are going to be big titles, and I think you and I have been hearing nothing but positive things about them. So
That's good. Look, man, I'm excited for all those titles. Definitely, so, I think.
I am.
I mean, you know, like the Shadow Space stuff. COD, you know, we'll see what they got cooking. I'll see the showcase after Xbox showcase. And see
when are we going to learn, bro?
Yeah, but like the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, out of all of this, definitely I think Avowed is what I'm looking forward to the most. Because, you know, I want to get into kind of the medieval RPG stuff. So I feel like that'd be a good, I'm hoping that that's a good kind of first entry to get my feet wet in that before Elder Scrolls 6 eventually comes out.
I'm on board with you there. There are some good things, I guess. So if Microsoft's game studios can deliver all of these games on time, then there will be plenty to play on Xbox this holiday, with a new Gears of War title expected to be announced during the Xbox Summer Showcase, alongside some release dates for other anticipated Xbox games. Microsoft will be banking on some new game announcements lifting the doom around Xbox. That's a nice little play by Tom. But the company's gaming strategy still looks unclear, and the challenges run deeper than a handful of holiday launches. Yeah, I think the trouble is at the exact level. Because if you're still profitable, man, you're still making good games. And like, I'm going to butcher his name, probably fourth time. Bakaba?
Bakaba. Yeah, I don't know.
Bakaba. Bakaba? I don't know. Dinga. Does that sound worse? The guy at Arcane Leon. Yeah. The guy at Arcane Leon basically saying to the execs, hey, F you. We're in the business of entertainment, expression, and art.
Yeah.
Quit being a jerk.
Yeah.
Accept that.
The most base take we've heard out of the industry so far.
100%. It's just real take, too. Very, very like an emotional take. But I don't think we have much else to add on here other than tying into the final article, which is what you're going to be covering here.
And we're
it's about Phil Spencer.
I'm going to try and get through this kind of quick.
Perfect lineup, right? Dude.
Listen, everyone, I'm going to try and get this kind of quick. I know we're way over, right? So I can get this as quick as I can.
It is a cook.
This is a great bow at the end of this and a nice little kind of thought to leave everyone with as we finish the episode. So this is coming from Zach Swizen. Zach Swizen over at I'm sorry, Zach. I feel like I always troll his name every time I read it.
You do, man. You love his last name. It's not even like a troll. It's just, I think it's appreciation for his name.
All right. Yeah, it's coming from Zach over at Kotaku. You already know we're getting the best stuff, baby, over at Kotaku. But this is an interesting kind of thought article that I think a lot of people are seemingly agreeing with. So, title goes, "It's time to stop giving Xbox boss Phil Spencer a pass. Under his leadership, many have lost their jobs and fewer games have made it out the door." Let's read on, because there could be some truth to this.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, let's listen to him. What does he have to say? So, where's the evidence?
Let's see. On May 7th, Xbox announced that it was closing three studios, which we just mentioned. There's four studios. One's rolling into, you know, ZeniMax. We already read it. This news is yet another example of Xbox, which has spent billions buying up studios, cutting costs, laying people off, and rearranging chairs on the good ship Xbox, which lately feels like it's drifting aimlessly. Now it's time to acknowledge that Xbox boss Phil Spencer is making bad decisions. Since the era of the Xbox One, Spencer has been the face of Xbox, consistently saying things that make his devout Xbox fans praise him and avoiding as much negative press as possible. He'll tout the merits of emulation and game preservation while acknowledging that Xbox could do more, but has no plans to. In November of 2021, when Activision found itself in hot water following a Wall Street Journal report claiming that CEO Bobby Kotick allegedly had knowledge of the toxic behavior of his company, Spencer was one of the biggest voices in the video game industry speaking out against the Call of Duty publisher, saying, quote, "This type of behavior has no place in our industry," Spencer claimed in an email. An SEC filing revealed in 2022 that a few days after the Wall Street Journal story was published, Spencer called Kotick and started working on a deal to buy Activision. Of course, this is pretty common behavior for a powerful and rich executive who is part of a massive global corporation. But Spencer has been able to mostly avoid criticism, sharing stories of how he believes gaming should be for everyone while making decisions that directly contradict his claim. Oh.
Okay.
You with me so far, Mike? Let's keep going.
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, so a history of corporate contradictory. In October of 2020, shortly after Xbox announced its plans to consume Bethesda, Spencer told Kotaku, "This deal was not done to take games away from another player base," and added that Xbox wants more people to be able to play games, not fewer people to be able to play to go play games. Yet in March of 2023, Redfall director Harvey Smith said that Microsoft stepped in after buying Bethesda and canceled a PS5 port of a vampire hunting co-op game. Starfield shipped only on Xbox and PS5 or Xbox and PC, and despite a few Xbox games like Grounded and Sea of Thieves jumping ship to PlayStation and Switch, future big titles like Indiana Jones won't be multi-platform. Xbox's boss has also talked a big game about giving developers the freedom to make what they want to make, explaining in May of 23 in an interview with Kinda Funny, "When a team like Rare wants to do Sea of Thieves, when a team like Obsidian wants to do Grounded, when Tango wants to do Hi-Fi Rush, when everyone probably thought we were doing the Evil Within 3, I want to give the teams the creative platform to go and push their ability and push their aspirations." While Spencer may say wonderful things about creativity and letting his teams make them make what they want to make, the reality is that if those bets don't pay off, and even when they do, the teams are at risk of getting gutted and shut down, all while Microsoft becomes one of the few companies in history to be worth $3 trillion.
That's fair.
It's fair.
These are fair statements.
Are fair. But while Spencer has something, was something of an industry darling for over a decade, it's become clear in the last 2 years or so that he isn't infallible and perhaps deserving of some scrutiny. Under his leadership at Xbox, thousands of people were laid off. Not long after the company spent billions of dollars to acquire Bethesda and Activision, studios have been closed, games have been canned, DLC has been canceled, and Xbox's first-party output has continued to be feast and famine. In 2022, the company practically had nothing. In 2023, it had some stuff to show. This year, it's been quiet. Sure, its release schedule will, assuming nothing is delayed, pick up later with the release of Senua's Saga and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, but after all the money spent on building Xbox's stable of studios and teams, after all of the cuts and layoffs, after all of the resources poured into growing the brand, Xbox has very little to show but poor console sales and a few cool games like Hi-Fi Rush, though not cool enough to spare the studio from being shut down.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yo, okay. Can I get it?
It's unfortunate.
The devil's advocate.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
I'm actually agreeing with a lot of this.
Yeah.
He does deserve scrutiny.
Yeah.
He has been a bit of an industry darling because he's been with Microsoft since like 2001, early Xbox days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got to a leadership position in 2014, like at the head, upper management. He didn't really become the CEO of Xbox until 2022. Yeah. What happened in 2020 to 2022? A lot of turmoil in the world economy and society in general. So I would give them a little bit of like slack on not having things released in 2022.
A little bit of grace. Okay.
A little bit of grace there, but because that, for whatever reason, is being mentioned right now. Things didn't really get back to normal until the end of 2022.
Yeah,
in terms of most world stuff. But these are very valid points. 100%.
Oh yeah.
What he's bringing up here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I unfortunately agree for the most part. Well, I say unfortunate, but I think it's just true. Like, I think he's very valid points so far. But yeah, we'll see. Let's continue on. We'll see if he talks about COVID and any of that stuff, because I think that is relevant. So Spencer's been running Xbox for a decade. Since 2014, Spencer has been the main person at Xbox's helm. While his biggest supporters might want to blame the economy, PlayStation, or regulators, at the end of the day, he's making calls that aren't helping his staff or gamers. Sure, his Game Pass creation and the push to expand it have been rightfully applauded by many. It was a genuine sea change for the industry and did indeed bring more games to more people. But beyond that one big victory, the rest of Spencer's run at Xbox's top boss has been a series of layoffs, delays, apologies, poor sales, and mergers meant to feed Game Pass, but which instead have seemingly cost a lot of people their jobs. In 2023, amid 10,000 cuts at Microsoft, Spencer wrote in an email to staff that he and the gaming team's leaders at the company had to make decisions that we felt set up for long-term success for our products and business. This involved cutting around 800 jobs from Xbox. In 2024, just months after closing its deal with Activision, Xbox cut 2,000 jobs. In another email to staff, Spencer said that he and other team leaders and Xbox and Activision had committed to aligning on a strategy and execution plan with a sustainable cost structure that will support the whole of our growing business. Yet, after years of making the best plans for Xbox, people are once again losing their jobs. 4 Xbox Bethesda studios are being shut down. I hope that this time, Spencer and the leadership at Xbox have found the right plan that will actually lead to growth, good games, and sustainability instead of more staff cuts and soaring profits for the company. And I hope, moving forward, Xbox fans and the media hold Spencer more accountable for future mistakes, cuts, and failures. And that's the end of the article.
Okay, I mean,
I think there's
how do you feel about it?
I think overall there's a lot of good points. Yes. I think to your point too, I think it's not to say like, COVID undoes all this, but it's definitely a factor for everybody, right? In those couple of years. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of adjustment that need to happen. And I think too, in general, I think COVID to a certain extent also just threw off projections. Cause like when we saw the Xbox leaks back in September, and you see, especially like ZeniMax's like slate and all that.
Oh yeah. A lot of
everything is way off or just not happening. It's like,
that's actually a really, really good point. A lot of things that are coming out this year should have been coming out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of studios basically went on full scale halting.
Yeah.
Nothing was getting done because it's a worldwide economy with all these different studios going out. So you can have like a little bit of a discussion to have a devil's advocate kind of thing, saying maybe not everything was up to him, or the overlords at Microsoft came in and essentially said, oh, we got to do corporate spending or like cut corporate spending, get rid of studios, get rid of labor, all this kind of thing. And he might just be making the best of a terrible situation. But at the same time, sole responsibility rests with the CEO and they should be held accountable. So this needs to be brought up. And that's why this is like a really good topic of discussion, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with you. I think like a lot of stuff, I think, at the end of the day, kind of comes top down.
Especially
about like business direction and kind of where you want to take things. I mean, there's certainly a lot of critiques there. I think a lot of these points are valid. And it kind of makes me think. I will say, Mike, just kind of all this Xbox stuff over the past week, I think it's certainly kind of tarnished my view of Xbox, and I hope they gain kind of back a lot of trust amongst the community. Because, I mean, me, like everyone else, is kind of just like, dude, what are we doing at Xbox? And I think it's just a lot of kind of red flags and just like a lot of just uncertainty at this point. And, it'll be interesting to see if they actually recover. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, the showcase, I'm still going to watch it, obviously, the Xbox showcase, but it definitely isn't going to hit as hard as it probably could have. Or there's probably going to be less people looking to actually care about what's going on next,
Yeah, I bet this is a lot of timing now that you bring it up. just get these out of the way early in the month. Yeah. People have short memories. They'll forget about it in a couple of weeks, and then everybody's going to be cheering for Xbox again and Phil Spencer the moment they see Gears of War coming back, or like an old IP that we haven't seen in ages. So Phil can be like, basically point out, hey, I'm bringing back an old IP. Look at this. We're bringing back Spyro or something. You know, like, who knows what it could be.
Yeah, you're totally right. I think by the time Showcase comes around, people will probably, a lot of people will be hyped again. So it's, you know, just what it is. But yeah, dude,
it's just annoying.
Yeah, it just has me worried for every Xbox studio now. it's like, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean anybody's expendable in the eyes of Microsoft, the overlords of Microsoft.
Yeah.
So they don't see the right numbers. They don't see profit growth, or growth and profit. Yeah, you're on the chopping block.
Yeah,
and that's terrible.
And even if you do make a solid game, you ain't safe. You know what I'm saying? It's wild. Right.
Man, no, you ain't safe. It ain't safe.
It ain't safe. Safe. It ain't safe.
Who is that? G-Eazy?
I think it is. Yeah,
it's just one of those songs. G-Eazy, yeah. I haven't heard his stuff in a long time, dude. Holy crap.
I know.
Oh, man. But, you know, we should probably wrap up real quick because we are way over our scheduled programming of an hour.
That's what happens. You got a lot to talk about, Mike. That's what happens.
That's a fact, man. We have a lot to digest, I think. Just the whole Microsoft situation here. I mean, we essentially talked about it for 45 minutes or close to it. And it's terrible. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been weird, too, because it's been happening all these other standalone studios or some studios with Sony. We haven't heard too much about Microsoft other than when they acquired Activision Blizzard, and then they got rid of some repeating positions,
redundancies and stuff.
Redundancies, thank you. They're trying to make things more efficient, and then they're coming out and they're like, okay, let's cut these three studios, lay off a whole bunch more people, lay off 2,000 people here and there. It's pretty brutal.
We gotta start pleasing the shareholders with games that we know will grow and give lots of money and
Yeah. How about you do something better? You create a good game and then you sell that to the shareholders so they're entertained.
Or you let people understand, you got to take chances. Not everything is going to hit, but there's going to be a lot of net positive out of this.
Unfortunately, hedge fund managers.
No one thinks long term, Mike. Nobody thinks long term.
No. They do, but they don't. It's terrible. I don't want to get into the intricacies of global markets, but it is what it is. How about we let the people go? We've been ranting long enough. So I guess real quick closeout information for anybody that's new here. Appreciate you for listening this far. That's incredible. This is really a long episode. If you want to read any of these articles yourself or give credit to the writer, the contributor, or whatever, they're linked in the description below. We do have timestamps for every single one of these, so if maybe you made it all the way here and it's been taking you multiple hours to just listen to it because people are busy, you can always click around. You can check the timestamps. We're also in video format on what's called Spotify Video as well as YouTube.
So
keep an eye out for that. We got some digestible TikTok and YouTube short content that Kyle's actually been cooking up and destroying. Really, really proud of you, dude. That's awesome.
I did.
But yeah, everything else, we got social medias. Come check us out if you want to. Links in the description below. That's all we got for you. And this has been episode 18 of season 5. Haven't missed a week. Woo!
Yeah, Let's go.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I'm Michael Antti. This is Kyle Heath. And this is the M2 Podcast. And keep on gaming. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.
Keep gaming, everyone. Support Xbox Studios, even though it might not matter.